Good day, patrons. There's a new football league coming.
So 2020, a few interesting things.
Everything's coming in 2020, by the way, as we've discussed before.
Coming in 2020. So I'll tell you about what he said, and then I'll tell you about what really happened.
Because the world needs more sports.
Well, the world does need more content, right? Like, if you look at, I mean, dude, you have been literally on the front lines.
Sure. Fair enough.
Every little stitch of content that is being bought by every little stitch of everybody. The most valuable of that.
Easily
content.
Say, oh, the world needs another podcast, Merritt. Yeah, totally. Get it.
The most valuable of that content is live content.
Right.
There's a reason why people have gotten into live, right? There are more live buyers than ever, including old media that don't want to get left out as people, as now things get closer and closer to Amazon and Google and everybody buying up all the most valuable stuff. Because, like, what is NBC if it doesn't have the Olympics in football, right? Like, what is ABC if it doesn't have basketball?
Right.
And everybody is terrified as soon as these leagues make the decision, all right, well, we'll just sell online. Everybody's got to sell.
Thanks, guys. This week we've gone deep.
So that's number one. Number two, in terms of the product, unlike the last time the XFL came out where they had like 6 months to spin up a league, they are taking 2 years.
Right.
Launch in 2020.
Got it.
Everything else is up in the air, including cities and yada, yada, yada. The only things that were clearly spelled out is that this will be family friendly, far from we want to track exactly which football players are having sex with which cheerleaders that happened with the old XFL.
Sure. Where the X stood for kind of like maybe it means X rated, wink, wink.
Extreme, right? As in the 90s parlance.
Yeah.
They will have a code of conduct. It was made clear that if you got a DUI, you would not see the field.
Why an X then? This should be USFL again because the America, right?
So yeah, I mean, well, brand equity. He actually answered that question.
All
so.
Right, all right.
He being Vincent Kennedy McMahon, simplified rule book.
Sure.
Shorter games.
Gotcha.
Those two things, I think. Much like camera angles and stuff were stolen from the last XFL and taken.
Yeah. Well, any disruptive league makes the rules simpler and more exciting.
Exactly.
Going all the way back to the AFL.
What got brought up a bunch of times was, what about the anthem? Are you going to require that players stand for the anthem?
Yeah.
Quick note on the anthem thing. The anthem thing is a problem between the NFL and the NFLPA.
Sure.
Because
the Players NBA, Association, for those who are not aware of the parlance.
The NBA has far more social conscious players that are far more vocal about causes than Colin Kaepernick has ever been. And they have zero problem with players not standing for the national anthem because there's a functioning and healthy relationship between the league and their players. There's not in the NFL, and there hasn't been for some time. And so they have a hard time dealing with stuff like this.
Well, can you define like healthy relationship and like just the way they deal with each other, like in terms of contracts or something like?
So right now, the problem with the NFL is that they have a contentious relationship with their Players Association, meaning that they have consistently, in the eyes of the Players Association, overstepped their bounds based on their agreement. They have punished players too much. They're almost every suspension winds up getting, I mean, many suspensions each year wind up getting litigated in like actual courts as opposed to being resolved between the two parties. And so when you have something that is socially an issue, like Colin Kaepernick kneeling and other players doing so in solidarity, now all of a sudden you have zero way to just say behind the scenes, hey guys, what can we do to make sure that your point gets across, but we don't piss off our fan base who finds it disrespectful that you're doing this? The NBA has successfully been able to do this. This year, there was a lot of like sturm and drang about whether or not NBA players would follow along with this trend and kneel. This has not happened. And allegedly, according to reporting, it is because the NBA has been respectful of the players' wishes and has allowed them to speak out publicly in
other forums. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Okay. Oh. We're recording.
So that's that, right? So Vince McMahon makes a point during this press conference to say that, without saying it, that he believes that the national anthem should be stood for and that they will have a strict code of conduct in terms of player conduct. And if you violate that, you will not see the field. So it's kind of a dog whistle to people who are sick of these criminals making millions, you know, kneeling for the anthem and disrespecting the troops.
Yeah. My opinion on it is, I think you should stand for the national anthem. I get what Colin Kaepernick is doing. I don't think it's illegal not to stand for the national anthem. So let people express themselves.
And by the way,
you know, and I also see why the XFL does this, because the XFL is like, this gets a lot of people really upset. So let's do the opposite of what the existing league does to make those people happy.
Also, what he was doing. All of this would have gone away if somebody would have given Colin Kaepernick a job. He had agreed to stand for the anthem going forward. He could have been a backup somewhere and probably never seen the field. You know, so the NFL made this problem for themselves. But beyond that, here's what this was really about. The WWE has a rights deal with NBC Universal, specifically the USA Network, that ends September 2019. The XFL, another live sports property, aims to begin in January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have multiple bidders for the WWE, you would probably get preferential treatment if you also offered.
No, they're bundling.
To bundle the XFL with it. So that's what this is really about. This is about making more money when they sign a deal in 2019.
Well, there you go.
The XFL Minute by Justin.
That is our sports report.
There's your sports report.
Your XFL 7 minutes.
Good stuff.
How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing good.
Topically wearing an NBA Finals hat as we were talking about the NBA. That was pretty amazing.
I don't plan to participate in Hat Friday tomorrow.
Oh.
For personal reasons. I'm just not going to. But so I thought I would wear it today because I didn't want to disappoint anybody by not showing off a hat. Also, the Warriors play tonight, so.
You just didn't want to do your hair today, did
you? Shh. I was traveling yesterday. It was raining.
I almost wore a hat today for the same reason. Looked at my hair and I was like, oh, maybe I should just wear a hat today.
I mean, it would have been fine, but I thought, you know,
hats are festive. And this is like, for me, fixing the hair meant like pouring a cup of water on my head and smashing it down. It's not nearly complicated, right? I'm just that lazy.
Well, I mean, don't overestimate the effort that I put into mine as well.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But there's not, you know, there's not a lot of quaffing happening at the Lane residence.
And that's COI, folks. Gosh. Jeez.
Ooh, let me grab my kombucha.
All right.
Ooh, we could do kombucha.
What? What do you mean?
Can you imagine DTNS branded kombucha?
DTNS branded kombucha. Sarah's favorite.
Sarah Select.
Social blend. It's not neutral kombucha. Crypto kombucha. Yeah. So what's the deal with Patrick? I keep seeing him tweet, but not.
If we've got a baby drop.
Well, I haven't checked. I assume that the canary in the coal mine will be
album, not like physically, but I realize
that's his tweets will stop. I assume.
Probably.
He retweeted something 4 hours ago and nothing since. Doesn't mean anything.
I need to ask my friend. Did she have her kid? She was due this month. Oh man.
Did you remember to have your kid?
It's the 25th, depending on when she was due. She's probably had her child. You never know, though. Well, Tom, I hope you had a really nice day off. I know you're doing other stuff, but we missed you.
Yeah, it was not a day off, but it sounds like everything went great.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, considering that I was remote and it's always more comfortable when you're in your own domain. But no, it was great. Scott was a real champ, and he's very helpful. And Roger, of course, couldn't do it without him. So.
Excellent. Excellent. No, I was glad everything went well.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We stopped talking about the XFL and Justin just left. He's like, fine.
Well, when I connected, we were talking about standing for the national anthem. And I was like,
well, because it started with him talking about the XFL press conference and that issue came up.
Got it.
Which I think Justin got in Justin host mode. It was like, so let me explain what I think, comes from. And that's where you came in.
Sure. Yeah. I admit that I loosely follow this controversy, but usually I decide to think about other things.
Yeah. I see.
So probably could learn something.
There's the man himself. Well, I have control of the broadcast again today, like old times.
Well, good.
So before we start the broadcast, my secret message to the patrons is Justin had the amazing idea that we should stock our Daily Tech News Show store with, like, USB cables and stuff. So we're exploring that. Keep an eye out. Keep an ear out. Don't replace any cables until you hear from us. Just keep putting electric tape on that frayed one that you've been using.
What these people want.
Going live. Here we go. Going live. And we're live.
I learned a little something this morning because when I have a Sonos One speaker that's hooked into Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend named Alexia. Oh. And so when I say that, the similar word, I just feel like I'm talking to her, but she's not there. And it's just like, it's not my preferred word.
Yeah.
If you have an Echo, you can change it to computer we're going to say the word computer, but, and then there's like one other option.
Echo is the other option.
Okay.
Which is really awful because
does not support anything but the default. Yeah.
Right.
I never thought about changing it until today. And now I'm like, oh man. So
I know people have changed it to computer. Derek Chen, for instance, changed it to computer, and he says it gets set off a lot more because word comes up more. He's like, even but
if that was my only option, I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah.
But to not even have the option, I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm stuck with this for now.
Yeah. By the way, was the news yesterday or today?
I think you can change it to Amazon too.
That's what it is. Yeah. Which is like, that would be mayhem.
Was the news yesterday or today that they're selling like two Sonos Ones for the price of one HomePod?
Yeah, that's today.
That today?
Everyone noticing like, hey, guess what? You can get a really good speaker twice.
Tell you what, HomePod, man, that's tough sledding uphill in that market, specifically when the push is good sound and Sonos is the brand for some good ass sound.
The only problem for Apple there is that Sonos is a favorite of Apple fans. If that was Bose, Apple would be like, all the Apple fans are going to buy the HomePod. You know, I still think all the Apple fans are going to buy the HomePod.
Yeah. There's certain people who are just like, I just want that Apple product. And it probably will have great sound. But I've got two of them.
Yeah.
My Sonos Ones. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I could add a sub to make it like really booming, but I'm never really listening to music that loud in here. The sound is great.
Yeah. No, the Sonos sounds good. And again, that's what Apple has been selling in the store.
That's the problem. Like, I love Apple stuff. Most of the stuff that Apple offers that has an option for Apple, I buy. However, I will not be buying a HomePod.
I don't consider you the Apple fan, though. You're an Apple appreciator.
I mean, sure.
But there are Apple fans who are like already pre-ordered. I'm ready. And I'm like, it's not even January 26th. You couldn't possibly have pre-ordered. And they're like, nope, I figured it out somehow. Like they just buy everything that comes from Apple. Unless it's really bad.
I used to be that person.
Yeah.
But I also used to host shows specifically about
Apple. About Apple stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so, shall we?
You
know,
it was.
You shall.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Hello, all you beautiful people. The Daily Tech News Show is brought to you by you. You can find out more at that dailytechnewsshow.com. And we thank you for your support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, January 25th, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From the XFL fan club, I'm Justin Robert Young.
Ah, we're all back in our natural homes. Los Angeles, Studio Feline, XFL fans. It's the 90s all over again, Justin.
Oh, it's all coming back to me now.
You know, the man who never left his home is Roger Chang, our producer.
I did leave this morning and went outside. I came back before the show, though.
I take it back. He has, in fact, left the house recently. So there you go.
Disappointing purists everywhere.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Samsung sent invitations for an announcement at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, February 25th, which happens to be the day before Mobile World Congress begins. The invite reads, "The Camera Reimagined." And then it also has the number 9. So probably hinting at a camera-focused Samsung Galaxy S9.
This one we'll see into your soul. Chrome 64 launched Wednesday. The pop-up blocker now prevents abusive experiences like transparent overlays or website disguised as media controls like a play button. It also includes an option to mute audio on websites.
Keep on kicking Chrome. Research firms Canalys and Counterpoint both agree that in their estimates, Xiaomi is now the top smartphone seller in India, bumping Samsung to number 2. Xiaomi and Samsung both make up around 25%. The actual number differs between the two research companies, but they both have about a quarter of the market, followed by Lenovo, Vivo, and Oppo. You have to end with an O to stay in the top 5, unless you're Xiaomi or Samsung. Well, let's get to some more top stories, Justin.
Nintendo announced it will close its Miitomo social app on May 9th. The app was launched on March 2016 and lets friends learn about each other through questions and answers. This seems like a bygone era for Nintendo apps in the wake of some of the more popular ones that have actually caught on, like Animal Crossing. But it was only March. It was less than a year ago that they launched this thing.
It's not just Nintendo, like every question and answer platform, I can think of a few of them. They all have a lot of popularity for like a minute. And then people are like, I don't have any more questions.
Yeah, it was the peach of its week is how I described it to Justin earlier today. You know, it was really exciting and fun for that first week. I don't think I've talked to Anthony Carboni about anything on the internet more than answering his questions and answers with his virtual avatar in Miitomo. But it just didn't have staying power. And honestly, this was Nintendo's toe in the water to be like, I'm going to try an app. Let's just see. And I think it was good for that. And it makes sense they'd be like, great, we've got real stuff now, like Mario and Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem. We'll just get rid of that toe in the water test now.
Sources tell Bloomberg's Mark Gurman that Apple is working on a redesign of its iBooks app for iOS after hiring an executive from Amazon. The new app will supposedly have a simpler design. The bookstore section will resemble more like the iOS app store itself. And the app name is supposedly said to be changing to Books from iBooks. That part of it I like because it's just, it is a book.
Yeah.
The way that you're reading the book is whatever, but it's not an iBook. It's a book.
Well, and also they've phased out the I from,
right.
You know,
it's Apple right. Music, Apple TV,
yeah.
You know, HomePod. Wait.
You know, I was having a conversation the other day with a friend who was asking me, you know, my thoughts on a new iPad, right? Like, Sarah, you're the iPad person. And I was like, you know, I haven't used an iPad with any regularity since the iPhone went plus sized.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone just kind of became big enough that I had some issue reading more books on my iPhone regularly. But this is certainly something that makes more sense for the iPad crowd when it comes to Apple. And I wonder how much people are clamoring for a redesign.
Well, I think everybody's shooting for Amazon because you see this happening, which, by the way, WScottis1 points out that in the 11.3 beta 1, it is called Books. So that part is not even just a rumor. That you can see that yourself in the beta. But you also have Google getting into the audiobook side, going head-to-head with Audible, full force. So I feel like everyone who's got the oomph, you know, the big guys, sees an opportunity to steal a little market share away from Amazon for some reason. Not that Amazon's laying down on the job, but just no one has challenged them directly. And I'm not saying no one has challenged them directly in that Apple didn't have its books before, but they haven't really put a lot of effort behind it. And it looks like they're going to try to get serious about moving that needle.
Look, let's be honest here. They are playing for number two. Anybody who is in the eBooks game against Amazon, Amazon just has this industry on about as fierce a lock as anybody has any industry. And so if you know, Apple can say, look, you're already in our ecosystem, you're already using our hardware, we can make a pretty experience and an easy experience for you to buy the book that you know, when Fire and Fury was the biggest thing in the world for 5 seconds, 3 weeks ago, buy it here. It's easy to buy here. You're not probably going to have the discovery that Amazon really has their bread and butter on, their bread and butter with, but at least this will be a nice, easy way for you to enjoy something that you were going to go out and get anyway.
And Apple has the competitive advantage that it has given itself. If you live in the Apple ecosystem entirely, it's easier to use the Books app because you can get to the store. Whereas with the Kindle and everything else, they're like, we're going to take 30%. And so nobody sells their stuff through their apps that way. They require you to go to the web. So there's some friction there that Apple could take advantage of. Friction that it has created, yes, yeah. but friction that it can take advantage of. CNN has shut down YouTube star Casey Neistat's video platform Beam, which it bought for $25 million back in November 2016. They were going to use it to build an online news show presence for the younger demographic. Neistat told BuzzFeed he couldn't figure out a strategy that worked within CNN and will depart the network. CNN says it's going to reemploy most of the 22-person Beam team. That's B-E-M-E, by the way. But, I mean, his quote is, I couldn't find answers. I would sort of disappear and I would hide and I would make YouTube videos for my channel because at least I would be able to yield something. It sounds to me like he was frustrated with being inside a corporation and having people say,
club, Casey.
Right? Having people say, and believe me, I understand, having people say like, well, you can't really do that. Well, that's a good idea, but what if we did it this way? And he is like, no, you bought me for a reason. Let me do my job.
Yeah. I mean, I was not super familiar with him before the CNN deal went down. Cause I'm not up on my YouTube stars as much as I should be. And to hear his quote, it's like, yeah, I mean, who knows how hard he was trying to integrate himself with the way that CNN works. I have also never worked at CNN, but I do know the frustration of being somebody who's like, here's what we do. We're nimble. You know, I got an idea for a video. It'll be up in a couple hours. This is, you know, how it works. And having a lot of executives bottleneck that entire idea. 22 people on a team is not, I mean, that's pretty significant amount of folks. It doesn't sound like they had much to show for the effort after CNN became the parent company, besides a handful of videos over the last year and some change. So that's a pretty big bottleneck.
Bad idea jeans is what Casey was wearing when CNN acquired him. This is just a loser of an idea. It was a loser of an idea when Current tried to base a network off it way back in the day for user-submitted video to be the dominant form, specifically when there's already a very rich platform for user-submitted video called YouTube that automatically finds the things that everybody knows and therefore the richest stories that CNN can report on. It's interesting to have another tool so people can report stuff from the field. But to be honest, did we really have a problem recording video and getting it out into the news stream?
No, the problem they were trying to fix is we don't get millennial uptake. So CNN thought, hey, even if it cost you $1 million to replace those bad idea jeans, you can buy 25 pairs of pants because we're bringing you in-house. If you remember, Beam worked by making you put the phone at your chest level so that you couldn't see what you were recording. The idea was like, let's have some more authentic interaction. And it was getting a little bit of uptake because of like, ooh, that's new. That's what CNN bought, was like, we want somebody who can come in and make millennials pay attention. It's not that we have a problem getting the video. It's that we have a problem with them coming to us to watch it. Maybe this is the guy who can do it. And it sounds like they just could not speak the same language. Some of it may have been interference from corporate types like we've talked about. Some of it may have been just CNN saying, you know, journalistically, no, we can't do that. Where a startup that Casey runs on his own can kind of fly, be free, and do whatever it wants.
Well, and really, I, you know, 25 million. Less of a overhaul than CNN saying, okay, let's replace some of our anchors and, you know, launch new shows for like the younger set and really alienate the people who are already watching the network. Right. So it's like, it was a experiment.
Yeah. It was just, instead of building,
it like it didn't really have anywhere to go.
Instead of building a new thing, they bought it and it didn't work.
It's a shock that a network that either does 24/7 wall to wall political coverage or wringing every last drop of nostalgia out of various decades that happened 40 years ago, you know, wouldn't be a place for millennial viewers.
Hey, they bought Anthony Bourdain.
Hey, I like those decade shows.
They're good. They're good.
They have Anthony Bourdain, too.
Really fond of the 90s series, gotta say.
Yeah. Bloomberg's sources report that Twitter is working on, get this, a Snapchat-style tool for posting videos. A working demo of the camera-centered app has been made, but design and launch timing have not been settled. Also, in a blog post Wednesday, Twitter described its use of neural networks to show the most interesting parts of a photo in its image previews.
Now, I am supposed to know that I am more excited about a possible Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram stories competitor than I am about a preview cropping. I'm way more excited about the preview cropping because I put posts up sometimes with photos or I see others and I'm like, I can't really tell what that is. And it's kind of annoying to have to click. If they've used a little AI sauce to make that work better and always have the interesting part in the preview window, that's great. I'm excited about that. That makes my Twitter reading experience better. The idea of them coming out with a separate app that'll allow me to do like short video posts to Twitter.
I am here for that take, Tom. It's cooler that we're figuring out how to that we are machine learning how to better edit your photos than it is to have yet another way to take little snippets of video that only live on one platform.
Well, you know, the Snapchat style tool, like, okay, I get that we're calling it Snapchat style because that company sort of coined this trend, but on Instagram, it is really popular. So in that sense, you think, okay, well, Twitter offering something that's a little bit closer to something that clearly is in use and sort of beloved by a certain amount of people, that's fine. I don't need this from Twitter. I don't need this from Twitter like I didn't need Periscope from Twitter or a variety of other things that they've tried over time. I wasn't even really all that fond of Vine. But I agree with you, Tom, that the photo preview window, when I first read about it, I was like, I mean, how much different could it be? But the examples that you see, you're like, oh, okay, instead of like a weird blob, you see that it's a photo of a cat, you know, and like it's right in on the eyes or the preview. And then you, you know, click the photo and it's the entire cat. So yeah, it's that part of it is,
I see. I see
it's
what happened.
Dramatically changed my experience, but it's cool.
Twitter said, well, no, Sarah, the cat pictures will look better. And you're like, oh, I get it now.
There was an example of a cat. So.
I mean, I saw it.
I'll click any cat photo. That's
I know you're not lying.
In the demo.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was in a group full of other Patreon creators yesterday, and everybody kept talking about Instagram stories. I think Snapchat came up once.
I mean, look, I went whole hog into Instagram stories when I was out there in Japan. And I, as somebody who has previously used a lot of Snapchat, I think that there's a lot of product improvements that they made that I think Snapchat kind of got left behind on. I think they made a better version of their product.
Yeah, I still like don't have the new Snapchat design that was announced at the beginning of December.
I mean, right? I don't have it either.
I mean, why even announce it if it's going to roll out that slowly? It's very bizarre. All right, moving on. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed an executive order Wednesday preventing the state from contracting with ISPs that don't follow net neutrality principles. ISPs would lose state contracts if they, quote, block, throttle, or prioritize internet content or applications or require that end users pay different or higher rates to access specific types of content or applications. Here we go.
Yeah, this one's trickling out, right? We had Montana on Monday. We had AT&T yesterday. And now we've got New York. And granted, it's very partisan right now. All the attorneys general that are filing lawsuits are Democrats. All the governors, the two governors so far that have done this are Democrats. So it'll be interesting to see if this ever crosses party lines or if it remains a particularly partisan issue. But it is a clever way for states to try to force net neutrality and get around that FCC prohibition against passing laws for net neutrality statewide. They can't do that and not run up against the FCC trying to shut them down with the new open internet guidelines that are going to go into place. But they can decide who gets their contracts. So here we go. One more. I think there's a lot of momentum building for there to be a showdown in Congress about a new bill. AT&T putting one out like that, Burger King running a net neutrality Whopper analogy shows that it's definitely part of the zeitgeist.
Woke burgers.
Whether we're actually going to get any agreement, any cross the aisle, this is what we can do and create a 1996 telecommunications bill type thing, right now it does not look likely.
Well, I mean, this, you could make the argument that this is states using the market at work, right?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
A lot of the contracts are huge parts of the budget, huge parts of the revenue for these ISPs. So if you say, look, if you run afoul of this, we will wrap you on the knuckles by taking you out of these gigantic lucrative contracts, then that is something that they might pay attention to. Yeah, I would still love to see just an updated framework, you know, some kind of look from our congressional system to show that the internet exists. It's an important part of the world, you know.
As self-interested and broken as AT&T's proposal was yesterday, it at least is the right step, right? If you say, all right, leave Google and content creators out of it, that's a whole separate issue. And let's put paid prioritization in. Now we got something to talk about. So I don't know. Nothing's impossible, I guess. Quartz has an article from David Rose, futurist in residence at Ideo, about how gesture interfaces, not necessarily voice or what he calls haptics, touch interfaces, might be the future. He really doesn't say that one is going to win over the other, but he's like, gesture interfaces might be the best way of interacting with a lot of devices. Rose points out that depth sensing cameras and neural nets can be trained to recognize specific people, classify their activities, and respond to gestures from afar. So in loud situations, voice isn't practical. When your hands are dirty, or you need to keep your hands clean, like you're a surgeon, touch isn't a great interface. So he found that gestures are better in four particular cases. When you need speed, he found that gestures seem to be quicker. When you need to do something at a distance, far field voice can do a lot of things. When you have a limited lexicon, you don't want to say a lot of things. You don't want to describe a thing like you do in voice. You just want to point to the light and turn it on. Gestures are good for that. And expressiveness over precision. You know, when you just want it to stop. You don't need it to stop for 10 seconds and do a thing or something else.
This is an interesting idea. I don't know if the answer is either. I think it is probably closer to and. However, the only thing about that would worry about gesture stuff is, number one, the idea that to record gestures, you need some sort of visual recording medium, right? You need some kind of camera
yeah.
to be pointed at enough places to make it easy. The one thing that I think has made Alexa, make the Echo take off. I apologize to everybody. Send me hate tweets. Justin R. Young.
I probably turned on someone's light when I pointed earlier too on the video. Know, so it's fine.
Is that you can be anywhere and you are constantly surprised by how far you can be and how low you can talk. And how in whatever garbled speak that you can get positive interactions. I have yet to see, not to say that it's not impossible, but I've yet to see a practical example of gestures having that kind of, oh, wow, it worked reaction.
Yeah, same.
Well,
with the exception of like.
He's not saying it's there. He's saying this would be better if we developed it more.
Sure. Yeah. I guess To say the idea of an audio only internet is something that I have longed for forever. And I think that was an element of the Echo that I loved. I can't think of a time where I was like, ah, man, if I can only just say thumbs up to go to another web page.
Well, I've definitely, and Sarah, you tell me if this changes what you were about to say. I have definitely wanted to control something without touching it or having to say anything out loud. Because when he says it can be, he says in this article, it can be embarrassing if you say something out loud, not because you're asking about a rash or anything. Maybe that's the case. But just like sometimes you're like, I don't want anybody to know what I'm talking about. It's just weird. I find that I never use Siri out in public for that very reason. I'm like, it's not that what I'm saying is so embarrassing. I just don't feel comfortable talking out loud to my phone. Sometimes I don't want to touch it. But if I could just be like, just bring the volume down, that would be great.
I suffer from the same thing. We were talking in the pre-show, where I wish I could change the wake command to something besides what it is now because I have a friend with a similar name and it just makes me feel weird. It doesn't make me feel weird because she's, is going to hear me or anything. It just feels weird. And sometimes when I say something, even though I get my answer right away, I just like, yeah, it's convenient, but it's not always ideal for me. Like, I just don't want to talk sometimes. Gesture stuff, if it worked well, and it's like, I don't know, you're swiping to go to, the next story or something like that. It's like, if it worked well, I would be into that the way that I was into, the Nintendo Wii or so, back in the day. But I find that is, talking about like feeling stupid. That's way worse, potentially.
Well, it depends on what the gestures have to be, right? And,
totally.
And I feel like you're both like, yeah, but gestures don't work. And it's like, they haven't yet. Voice didn't used to work either. There was a time when voice control devices were laughable because you're like, they can't tell what you're saying half the time. And now they've gotten better. So if you can get it where it's like subtle gestures, like, finger stuff or whatever, I don't know.
With that understanding, I would love to see it work. But when the app Siri came out, I downloaded it because I was very excited about the potential, even though it was hit or miss.
Gotcha. You were from the beginning.
Yeah, it's still hit or miss, but I'm constantly, especially when I'm in my car, using it and, kind of sometimes figuring out like, oh, here's the workaround, because she didn't really get what I was trying to do in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Siri particularly has a long
way. There's, we have ways to go.
She, I always think of Siri as a he now because I changed mine to be a British man.
Right.
So it would sound like
Jeeves
the butler.
That's another thing that I just have a personal, like, it makes me feel uncomfortable to think of these things as genders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want a name that reminds me of a gender. I don't have a good reason for that. It just makes me feel weird.
Hey, Siri, how are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
To solve my problems with their big, strong hands.
It's a sophisticated voice. Hey, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. We do it all for you. All the headlines of the day in 1 5-minute package. You can get them on the Amazon Echo just by talking to her. You could also get them on the Google Home. You can get them on the Anchor app. And you get them as a podcast. It's our most popular way of getting them at dailytechheadlines.com.
You know, Tom, speaking of male British voices, I think this would be a good time to check in with Nate Langson to find out what he's been talking about in the UK lately.
Thanks, guys. This week, we've gone deep on a major topic that the copyright industry and the government in the UK has paid for a whole load of educational materials for schools in Britain that aim to teach kids why downloading content illegally is bad. To make the topic fun, they've used some puns, which I like, such as Justin Bieber, and some analogies that I very much don't like, such as the lesson that downloading a copy of a song is the same as stealing a product from a shop. And there's a chance we try and teach the government a lesson in the show, that maybe educating kids about why sexting or libel might land them in hot water, or jail, might be a better use for at least some of the money. That's available now at techpodcast.uk.
Ah, thank you, Nate. You wouldn't steal a policeman's helmet, would you? Why would you steal a song? Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We also have a Facebook group where you can bat around ideas of the day at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. We look at those, we look at YouTube, we look at our blog, and we look at the email to find out what's in the mailbag, Sarah.
Speaking of email, yesterday we were pondering Meg Whitman's impending job change and thought, you know, she's such an enterprise gal. Why is she going to this sort of like video short form startup thing? Chris in sunny St. George, Utah, as he describes it, says, well, okay, in looking at her time at HP, you missed why this might appeal to her. She was the real first business executive at eBay, guided their growth from a tiny startup to a big mega retailer. In my opinion, that was her biggest professional accomplishment. And even if she spent hundreds of millions of her own money when she ran for governor of California, she's wealthy enough from eBay still that she doesn't have to work for money. So having another startup opportunity sounds like the perfect passion project for her. And maybe it is. Maybe it is.
So I think if I can paraphrase what Chris is saying is, she likes an array of challenges, right? And maybe HP was just like, everything's kind of been solved. It's all about moving levers. I want a sample of lots of different challenges. So this would be Whitman's sampler of...
Oh, stop.
Well, I also, you know, hey, I would try lots of things too if money was no object, right? So it's like when you think in terms of like, oh, if you just want to try something and if it doesn't work out, great. And your livelihood kind of, you know, things aren't going to fall apart if it doesn't work out. Well, yeah, a lot of us might do some sort of career pivots as well. This isn't really a career pivot necessarily, but it does seem like, yeah, it's a different thing than what she's been doing for a long time. And at any age, sometimes people want to do different stuff.
Yeah, I hope it turns out to be her cherry cordial.
Me too.
William writes, as a shift supervisor at a grocery store, I'd like to dispel this idea that pricing problems are some kind of game or laziness. Nobody is mispricing items on purpose. Many times, probably 7 out of 10 times that the price is wrong, changes have been pushed by the home office and the overnight crew has gone through the entire store trying to find tags that are outdated. If you ever pay attention to how many sale tags there are in the grocery store, then you can realize how easy it is to miss one or two, or sometimes even more. Other price changes are generally handled by a department manager for either overstock or approaching the sell-by date. What really becomes annoying, though, is what Scott mentioned, the clearance area. Often, only a few of an item make it to the clearance area, and some customers treat the area as a drop-off for items they decided they didn't want. Organizing this area all the time is impossible, and it's the number one cause of false price concerns in my day.
So just if anybody is like, what is this all about? On Monday, we talked about Amazon's new cashierless retail store in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in the mailbag section, somebody had written in and said, here's, you know, there's going to be a challenge here because you're going to notice fewer mismarked items on your way out, which does happen. Having worked in a grocery store in my youth as well, I definitely agree with William where it's like, you know, it's really hard. Really hard to keep a grocery store running smoothly all the time. So I think there's a little bit of a, hey, you know, don't act like we're not trying our hardest, which I don't think anybody was saying.
I think the concern was... somebody who's constantly on the lookout for these things wouldn't have an easy way to complain to the checker about them. And frankly, I'm not the, I'm the opposite. I'm the kind of person who's like, you know, as long as the total doesn't seem outlandish, if it's about what I expected, I don't look at it, each individual item really.
Yeah. I mean, although I could sympathize with all the poor stockers and checkers.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't think grocery stores do it on purpose. I don't think it's some kind of pump time. Maybe there are a few out there. I'm not going to deny that they're shady.
Ah, the sinister grocer. We are on to you, buddy.
The grocery bad apple is ruining it for everybody.
This apple was supposed to be 99 cents a pound, not $1.09 a pound.
No, but the label's on the can, though.
Right.
Prices on the can. I screwed up that Atlanta quote.
Well, you know, you don't screw up much, Justin Robert. I know you were excited about what some new football league before the show. Besides that, what else you have going on these days?
I was just talking about the newly relaunched XFL in 2020, but that's nowhere near as exciting as my politics podcast, and that is something that you can find on iTunes. And anywhere else that you get podcasts, or you can just go to politics.com. A lot of exciting things or terrifying things happening in the world of politics. If you want an even-handed, a funny, humorous place to deal with all of it, then go ahead and do that. Or here's another thing that you can do for absolutely $0 out of your pocket. Go to tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung. That brings you a politics newsletter 5 days a week. For free headlines and hilarious commentary for you for nothing.
Hey, folks. Kevin writes, so glad my DTNS hoodie is finally here. It's Ooh. Already too warm to wear it. Hashtag Texas weather. But maybe I'll get a chance next week. You never can tell. Hashtag Ibid. Happy to have another way to support you guys. You should maybe rotate the different ways to support the podcast instead of talking about the same ones every show. It can get a little repetitive for the regular listeners. Well, if you're a regular listener, you know I do change it up. But we always mention the Patreon. I know what he's saying. So, hey, folks, if Patreon or PayPal or any of those other ways are not your thing, check out the store. We even have Born Ready onesies now at dailytechnewsshow.com/store.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. See, there's like so many ways you can get a hold of us. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Tomorrow is our monthly roundtable show with Chris Ashley, Shannon Morse, Len Peralta. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good sound effects. What should we call it?
Tell you what, I will be right back.
All right, fair enough.
There's Twitter's Twitter snapper. Apple's taking another bite out of ebooks. CNN couldn't find a balance with Beam. Can't touch this hands-free internet. Era of I is over. Bad idea jeans. Woke burgers. Burger neutrality. Got to end with an O. The peach of its week. Mitomo in the water. CNN crosses the beam. Beam me up, CNN. Beamed out. The cat pictures look better. UI can't
problem,
touch this.
The problem with picking the title is that, Roger, you never sound excited about any of them.
Right.
I feel like we've ordered you to read the list, and you're reading the list.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know how to make it better.
I'll take caffeine pills.
Maybe that'll work.
I mean,
beat me up, CNN. That's amazing.
There we go. That's good. I kind of like that one now.
You see, there's one in here that's like super clever.
Yeah, there's usually at least one. Sometimes I like two or three.
I know it doesn't have a lot of votes, but I think there's no I in books is funny.
That's pretty good.
That is good. Where is that one? I don't see it.
It's Stoic Squirrel. Below Mitomo. Here, I'll vote it up. should be three.
There, yeah, I'm one. Doing it. It also should be a lowercase I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Make it so, Tom.
See, done.
I mean, I feel tremendous power whenever I say which one I like the best, because then it becomes the number one.
I know. It always just like...
Because everyone's like, okay, we like, want to like support yeah. Sarah. But I actually want to support you guys. So, like, listen to me with a grain of salt.
Mm, but that's very difficult to listen to.
Right.
But you can hear the sea.
Yeah. Yeah, who wants a salty person?
Salty ear.
You can hear the ocean if you have a salty ear.
Saltier than they are already.
Did you see that there was a player code of conduct fine levied in the Overwatch League?
No.
Kid flip the bird.
This is after that. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's why you need a new
Overwatch League.
No one's none of this flipping the bird.
It could be
say an obscene gesture
with Vince McMorheim as the commissioner.
Welcome to the X. Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, the biggest thing about that story, not to go back to it because I'm obsessed.
Man, you are, yeah, I was going to say, this is really on your mind, I could tell.
I mean, listen, if no one's going to talk, then I'm just going to talk about this. So, the biggest thing that is true is that the media landscape, and this is something that Tom has been on top of for years and years with Cord Killers, has never been more robust. There are so many people that want to get hashtag content. It is the only thing that matters in today's media landscape. Not that you have prestige content, although that counts, but just anything to get in the game.
Fill a bucket.
Yo.
Yeah.
Can you do anything? Go, 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 go.
That's it?
I mean, I was hoping that there'd be some kind of discussion, but that's fine. We can just
I thought you were still going. I was waiting for you, like, the thing about it is they've needed to fill the bucket. I was waiting for the, and so.
No, there's a lot of buyers. I mean, that's really my larger point is that if you look from, you know, for what is going to be the roaring 20s of media, it will be, you know, number one, probably new giants emerging in Facebook, Google, and Amazon in terms of them possibly replacing the media giants of old of network television.
Yeah.
Also, you know, what becomes of them? What becomes of NBC? I mean, specifically now that they've all been bought by larger companies.
Well, so on the sports side of it, I've often thought that the end game for the major sports leagues is we're going to own and stream all of the content, and you'll get to simulcast some things. This is what Overwatch is doing, right? They're like, we own Major League Gaming, and so everything goes on Major League Gaming, but we'll do a deal with Twitch, and Twitch gets some perks out of it, but that's just so we can extra monetize it. And I'm like, that seems to be the model for sports, but what the XFL seems like they might do, from what you're telling me anyway, is not do what the WWE has been doing, like we're just going to go straight to stream, but rather partner up, do a more old-fashioned deal and partner up with a broadcast network.
Well, but WWE still does that traditional deal for their live weekly programming.
Sure.
You know, they still do that deal for Raw and SmackDown, which is once a week. So they are very much still in that game of selling content. And they just did their first exclusive deal with Facebook that's airing now over the next couple weeks. So... This is something that I think is
hold
still going
on, hold on. Breaking news. Thank you, TV's Egon. Paul Thurrott just sent out his regular email with the title "There's no I in books."
So do we
just say, "Hey, Paul, great minds think alike."
No, yes. I want to publicly shame Paul Thurrott.
You think he stole it from us? I think the email went out before we had our conversation, unfortunately. I don't know if you can make that case.
Biter.
How about we change ours? There's no I in books, Paul.
Well, wait, is his uppercase or lowercase?
TVZ gun. He put quotes around the I, which is exactly what I was going to do.
Well, do we feel that there's enough overlap that people would be like, hey, DTNS stole this? Otherwise, I don't think there's enough
overlap that people will go, hey, you guys, do you have the same title? Because that's happened with Tech News Today before. Like, hey, you guys have the same title. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean.
Well, do you want to pick something?
I don't want to spend a lot of time picking something else.
Well, there were other good ones. Hold on.
All right.
I don't know what "don't copy that Bobby" means.
Man, no, don't copy
that floppy. That's the old anti.
And the Bobby is a word for British policeman. And I said you wouldn't steal a policeman's helmet. It's deep cut.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. Okay. What about woke burgers?
What?
I don't know if you caught that one. I yelled woke burgers when you were talking about the.
Oh, that's what you yelled. I couldn't make out what you yelled. All right. Funny.
I kind of like millennials are killing CNN. I don't know if you need CNN as killing Beam, but millennials are killing CNN is kind of funny as a meme.
Sarah?
Sure.
All right. We're in. Millennials are killing CNN.
This just in. Mary Jo Fatoli has released an email. Millennials are killing CNN.
But Paul's email. All right. Millennials are killing CNN. Oh, wait. And now I can upload. Okay, here's the thing, though. All of you listening or watching, I don't care if it's live or later, you have to go on Twitter and at reply Paul Thurrott, at Thurrott, and say, hey, DTNS, you know, let you have that that headline.
Yeah, out of our infinite mercy.
We're just that generous.
We admire your shared brilliance in coming up with it, and we graciously changed ours.
But don't let it happen again. Ever.
That's right.
You get one, Paul. You get one.
Everyone gets one.
They all get one. Yeah, we saw Paul at CES. It was nice catching up, saying hi.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
That was the extent of Roger's conversation with.
These hors d'oeuvres are delicious. How do they make so many?
Tell Paul that now that we've let him use that headline exclusively, he needs to be on our show.
Yeah. In fact, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Now, what happens with Paul is I think, oh, let's have him on when there's a Microsoft story. And then a big Microsoft story shows up. And I'm like, hey, Paul, could you be on the show? And he's like, no, I'm too busy covering this big Microsoft story.
Yeah.
For my own site and shows. So, yeah. So we should just book him.
We need a larger Microsoft trend stuff. Or maybe after the Microsoft story, you need to have Paul on.
Yeah, just have sort of a bird's eye view of like, all right, so where are things stand?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
On the grand roadmap.
The other idea that I was kicking around with Darren Kitchen yesterday, we were messaging back and forth, is to do a crossover security roundtable with Hack5.
That's a great idea. Did you finally get him on the platform?
As soon as you told me, like, oh, I always talk to him here, I was like, let me try that. And he's like, hey, what's up?
I told you, man. That crazy kid.
No, it worked like a charm. I will share this tip with you, Roger. Once we're off air.
How to get a hold of Darren?
Yes. Because we don't want everybody.
Because I haven't had luck to pass two or three
times. He apologizes. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I've been really bad at email lately.
Lately?
Zing.
Zing. Zing. But yeah, I think that'd be fun to do. Like, cause he was like, he's like, they've been talking about doing a security roundtable for Hack 5. And I'm like, let's have the Love Boat dock at Fantasy Island.
Wait, what?
No one gets that reference?
Is
one of the first famous television crossovers was the Love Boat docking at Fantasy Island.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, that had the subtitle and all hell breaks.
I thought it was because there was like some bar over where Hack 5 is that's like TV-ish. And I thought that's what
my hip started.
Remember, Malcolm McDowell's brother was on an episode of.
Well, when I said that to Darren, he did get it. And he said, or the Jetsons show up on the Flintstones.
That wasn't a very good episode.
At least you got the reference.
What was the little alien guy on the Flintstones? That was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know if it was a theater movie, but it was like
the direct to video.
It was like a feature length video. Yeah.
Yabba dabba do.
I definitely watched that, man. I love that.
You love the Honeymooners in animated form?
I mean, I didn't know it was a total rip, but like, you know, sure. Yeah, I loved it. Dig it.
How come Fred and not Velma? What's his wife's name? Wilma.
Yeah.
How come they both sleep in twin separate twin beds?
That's
they're
the way
people.
I Love Lucy had the same thing.
Yeah, because it's scandalous to think married.
You
people
couldn't back. Show people in two. You could shouldn't show a man and a woman in the same bed on primetime TV back then.
I Love Lucy is one of the best shows ever made. I know everyone agrees with me on that. And the bedroom scenes were just my favorite because they seemed so weird. Mm-hmm. You know, like her nightgown was always like,
yeah,
you know, and you know, and they, okay, well, good night, dear, you know, and then they'd like get into their beds on opposite sides of the room and just be like, is that how it was?
No, my
grandparents, right? My grandparents had separate beds like that.
I always just thought it was how old people did it. I thought that it was like that. That wasn't like a standards and practices thing. That it was just.
But the thing was like in the show they weren't old, right? They had like a little baby.
But my grandparents were the same age as them, so.
Oh yeah, I guess like they were just they had always done that supposedly. Which is like
scandalous.
I mean, hey. People are having kids, so there's more to the story.
Something, but. Yeah. They push the beds together at some point or something. Yeah.
All right. Also, I know this. I'm probably not the only one, but, you know, I was watching I Love Lucy reruns after school. And I just loved that show.
Yeah.
But I did not know that Lucille Ball was a redhead. And sometimes, because it was black and white, sometimes during the show, like, there'd be, like, a redhead, you know, and I'd be like, I don't get it.
Well, it was weird to refer to her hair when no one could see it. Like, there was no color TV. It wasn't like, oh, well, some people can see that it's red. Like,
but, like, she was a star so that people knew she had red hair. But,
yeah,
like,
but even Life magazine had black and white pictures. Like, you just had to know. You could never tell.
Right. But if you didn't, like, I was just watching some show that was, like, on Channel 2 because that's the channel that the babysitter put on, you know, kind of thing. And I remember, like, what finally someone said, like, no, she's not blonde. She has, like, really red hair.
I always thought it was blonde, too.
Oh, okay. So funny. Like, I thought of them as, like, colorless. Nobody had any color in their
life. People. It was less offensive back then.
Yeah.
Funny. Great show.
Great show, everybody. Five stars, would watch again. We will be back tomorrow with the round table. So stay tuned for that. We've got some awesome topics lined up. See you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Awesome toppings.
And gals.
Oh, and if you are at the advisor level, you still got time to vote right now for another 5 or 6 hours on what one of those topics will be. Thanks, patrons. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Line on my wave.
Bye.
You can't see me.